Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. As we come your way every week, we are streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on atozen.fm. And you can check the listings at atozen.fm. That's A, the letter A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm. And you can find out when the program is on, because it does tend to move around a little bit, and it's rebroadcast throughout the week as well. And I'm greatly appreciative to Holly Hall for that. And we are here to inform you, inspire you, enlighten you, and maybe even make you laugh from time to time. Occasionally, and hopefully rarely, we'll make you cry. But for the most part, we're here to have to enjoy ourselves and to basically see what we can do to come up with those new paradigms, those new ways of living, as we have talked about so many times in the past. Every program is like that. We're just seeking out and trying to find ways to move forward in our lives, to live our purpose, to do the things that we're here to do. And I think one of those is actually to experience and really have joy in one's life. So we certainly hope that you will participate. We're, as I said, archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. There is also an interviews page. Now, that is separate from the radio show's page. The difference is pretty self-explanatory. The interviews haven't made it to the radio show yet, but they will. And until they do, that's where they will be. You will get a sneak peek, those of you who choose to go there, at our guests upcoming for months in advance sometimes. So we encourage you to go there as well. And if you'd like to support the work that we're doing here, we're always in need of that kind of support, whatever it may be. We have a PayPal and a GoFundMe account. So if you'd like to support us in that fashion, we would greatly appreciate that. Today we have a returning guest, this being our final Saturday in October, and this is the month of A to Zen hosts, so we are going to bring back to our microphones, or Skype phones, if you will. That's how we're getting a lot of our guests these days, which is fantastic. Quality is so much better. Jenter Green Gardner is our guest, and she's returning. You've been on the program. It's actually been, I think, almost 2 years, or a year and a half at least, I think, when I was looking at the schedule going back, and it's nice to have you back.
It's great to be back. I think that, if anything, I'm crazier than the last time I was on with you. But I don't know if anything else has changed.
Well, I know that we're still in the process of going through basically the work that you do. You're a healer, and you have a network, if you will. And matter of fact, the website, if you're interested, folks, go to healinghandsnetwork.org, healinghandsnetwork.org. And you're basically all about the process. The purpose, in essence, is to interlock traditional approaches with alternative and contemporary approaches to medicine, believing that basically both are necessary to achieve good health. And obviously, it is about finding the right modalities that will assist in your healing, right?
It is about that. And I come to the healing myself with leaving no stone unturned. So I think everything, if it feels right to you, contributes, whether it's acupuncture, whether it's Reiki, whether it's anything, massage, three heart balancing. The kind of healing I do is so simple. We think healing's a gift for everyone, like the sun and the moon and the stars. It doesn't have to be complicated. And so we don't just teach classes for practitioners, so to speak, but we teach the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, people who've got a sick person in their family and they want to know how to ease their pain or help them relax. We give them, we'll Skype them, we'll talk to them, we'll, you know, fly somebody out there if we can. Or have them come to us. We mm-hmm. want to make it easy.
Not the candlestick maker. Not him.
I guess that's an old-fashioned way of talking.
No. Yeah. We want to help everybody to to reach their optimal health again. Because if you're not feeling good for whatever reason, it's kind of hard to focus on much of anything else but the pain and what have you that you might be going through, or discomfort, to be able to, you know, as we mentioned, live your seek out and find your life's purpose, fulfill that, have fun and have joy in your life. And to settle for, well, this is the way it's always going to be, it just ain't good enough.
Well, it's not. And humans, you know, die as babies if they're not touched enough. You know, and as we grow up, you know, we've, and at least in our country, the United States, we've gotten used to less and less and less human touch. They say that people in our country are touched like one or two or times an hour if they're adults, you know, like maybe a pat on the back or maybe, you know, somebody connecting with them in some way, where other countries, people are touched over 100 times an hour. They'll walk down the street arm in arm. And I think people just plain shrink inside because of that hunger for whatever reason, the way we're created, we need to be touched and paid attention to. So it's not just healing to get you out of pain, but I think it's hugs and healing and anything you can do to put love into this vessel through the contact with another human being is great.
What is it, do you think, about our Western culture that makes us as a society, and obviously I'm not talking about individuals, I'm now talking collectively here, yeah, broad brushstroke, so abhorrent to touch?
I almost wonder if this is my fantasy, it's like a be perfect driver. We're supposed to just drive this body into the ground in service of achieving something. You know, we work too many hours, we play too hard, and we're supposed to embrace pain with some idea that that's going to make us a better performer. It's just, you know, that I think there's that just so deeply rooted to use our body as something rather than realizing we embody our sole purpose in our body.
Mm.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes good sense to me. Tell me, you've been, shall I say, in the healing profession for quite a number of years.
Yes, you 35 these days, getting on to more than that.
Wow. As long as I've been in this business. And I'm curious as to any changes in the types of conditions that have come your way, the attitudes and perspectives that people bring with them to you in this process. Have you seen, maybe a better way to put it, have you seen any level of increased, shall we say, maturity in the self of others that have come to you who recognize, I got to do this because there's something very important that I need to be doing, and until I get this taken care of, I can't do it kind of thing?
I haven't noticed much of a change there, you know, to be frank. In fact, I still see too many people who are willing to put up with being in constant pain, and they don't even think that they could do something about it. Somebody has, say, chronic indigestion, and maybe they know why. Maybe they got a diagnosis. Maybe they don't. They don't even think until somebody maybe happens to suggest or really push them, or their stomach, you know, the ulcer comes to so big that they can't, they're in screaming pain. I just see so many people willing to put up with things that I know if they would reach out for a complementary alternative hand, you know, that medicine just doesn't have the answer for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people still think that it does, but
I'm wondering too if the term, it's kind of like when we deal with the subject of death and dying, I usually use the term transitioning because it is not so energetically charged when you say it to someone, death and dying. Immediately, certain things come to mind. But when you use the word transition, it has a different meaning for them. And I'm wondering if when we start taking a look at those things that ail us, those diseases within our bodies, and again, whatever they are, am I correct or incorrect in the assessment that a lot of this really has to do with our mental states? I mean, some would say, well, it's part of karma and so forth. Well, fine. But that a lot of the stuff that we've taken on in a physical fashion in terms of the dis-ease is more due to the mental and or psychological challenges that we faced in our lives.
I think that was true in the 80s.
Okay.
I think with the harmonic convergence, everything changed. And that prepared us, moved us into that Aquarian age and the will heart, the heart, the seat of chi, the pelvic bowl opened up. And when the pelvic bowl opens up, that was the dreaded ego where people were supposed to not tread. And now actually the will to survive is deep in that ego, and that energy, I told you I was crazier than last time, that energy is propelling us to evolve. And I think lots of times people are trying to, with their mind, heal what's going on, even the, you know, the attitudinal healers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's limited success because our human evolution is pushing us, and everybody's body is like a computer that remembers everything that has happened to him or her. And our bodies are discharging, releasing those memories, whether we're under somebody's hands or not. And it's slower if we're not. And we can, and then when we try to figure out our karma or figure out something, if we even find some good therapy, it still doesn't move. But really, the body's pushing us so hard to move that it's easy. Our body wants to just vibrate out these memories without any kind of deep, let me go in and remember every bad thing that happened to me. So that's what I mean about healing's changed, so that when I healed myself of MS in the 80s, I did. I had to go through my childhood and comb through it, and gosh, I remembered everything, thought of everything, why I might want this, secondary gains. It went on and on. And then a group of us got together in the 90s, and we said, we got to find a faster way. This took years. You know, so What if we just use the idea from Hawaii, Ho'oponopono, the goddess rhythm, and what if we just vibrate out all the memories? So you don't just vibrate out one memory that you have a whole story and a whole mindset going about. You vibrate out everything that is at the same frequency of that story. In fact, when I'm teaching people in my classes, I don't want them to try to figure out what's going on with that person, because if they say, oh, you were beheaded in the French Revolution, well, maybe they were. Who the heck knows? But I want to vibrate out anything that might not just be that story, but anything that's like that story in their whole field. And so I think in some ways it's our bodies that are driving us now. And that's a new paradigm. I don't think people think of it that way. We're used to our bodies always being in service to our brain. And now I think our bodies are driving us places, and we end up feeling things that surprise us.
Interesting. Now, I'm curious as to what you consider to be, this is sort of along the same lines but a little different tack, what's the definition to you of a miracle?
Well, that's an interesting question. I used to think I knew, you know, that a miracle was God's participation in, you know, our healing. And I'm not saying God doesn't participate or some source, but I look at all of us as evolving. And when I say all of us, I just don't mean the humans. I mean all my relatives, you know, the planets, the angels are helping, the fungus, the ants, the animals. You know, it's like we're all moving together to create a new living reality on the planet. And so when I'm healing somebody on my table, all of us are helping. And when that person completely changes on the table, that's bringing in a new energy that ends up rippling out and helping everybody else. So that person has, quote, their miracle. And it might be a dramatic miracle. It might be we had a dramatic miracle last night, it seemed like. Some lady had a hernia that was stuck, her stomach was stuck up into her diaphragm, and we got that energetically, that stomach got plopped back down where it belonged. Then we put something we call a sticky on the diaphragm, and usually that's good to go. Well, you know, we'd have to interview her in a month and see if it's still holding.
Mm-hmm.
But doing that didn't just affect her. There was a whole set of emotional and mental dynamics that went into that presentation. And then everybody on the table who were helping, it was a group healing, there were about six or seven of us in a class, anybody on the table who might have felt or thought or had a problem like hers, got released at the same time because of the field of gravity. Every time I give a healing, I get one. And then in their circle, their children, their friends, everything vibrates out and starts to ripple until whatever dynamics we were removing from her got removed from, really, I think, the whole collective, the whole planet.
Interesting.
So miracles are, it's not like when is the big question. It's not like, am I going to get healed of whatever I'm worried about? It's like, when is the right time for all of us to vibrate this out together?
And the other aspect of it, too, is that I've had conversations with people about various healing modalities that have been around for thousands of years, mm-hmm. especially Chinese medicine, if you will.
Right.
And there was no FDA back then to make sure that it was safe because the people knew it was. They just knew. They mm-hmm. went to the practitioner who was practiced in it, who was proficient in it, even though they were obviously, as we all are, still learning. But they went to this person and said, hey, I have this situation. I need some help with this. And he or she would administer whatever the modality was that they used for that person, which is another thing. You never use the same modality on every single person. It's subject to the needs of that person. I'm wondering today when, like, for example, this woman who had, well, I don't know what you'd call it, a distended stomach or what have you. It was in the wrong place, obviously. What is the, from your experience, orthodox or modern medicine's response to something like this? Obviously, she had the healing. There was a shift physically in the structure of her internal organs.
Right.
And as far as you could tell us if it's stuck, if it stayed, there's been no change. In other words, it's normal and it stayed so.
Right.
But what about modern medicine in terms of saying, well, wait a minute, you know, really she should have come in for surgery. We could have done this, that, the other thing, and then really secured it, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas what you did was so non-invasive, and she was obviously able to get up and walk out.
Right.
On her own, and her energy level was probably even higher than when she walked in.
That's true.
Give us your observations of modern medicine's perceptions and reactions, because that's what they would be, to what you're doing.
I think they'd have, depends, of course, on the practitioner, but in general, they'd just certainly not understand how that could have happened. And yeah, she had been to traditional medicine. She knew they wanted her to receive surgery. She did not want that. And so she came asking us and hoping for that. I think that your example of Oriental medicine, you know, those people, I think, usually were trained in groups, you know. So if someone knew that these people were schooled, you know, it was, I don't know that it was a master apprentice journeyman kind of deal, but people would, who taught people whose parents, grandparents, I mean, there was some kind of a tradition there. And whether we know it or not, in our country, every healer, like me, I have healers that taught me, and they have healers that taught them. Nobody just, I don't think, just pops into the world and says, okay, I'm a healer now. And so there is, I don't think traditional medicine understands that if there's somebody who has the moxie to think that she can heal something like a stomach hernia, that's because, you know, I don't know what they think, but I don't think they get that there's not, that there's a tradition of healers teaching healers teaching healers in our country, and there is. I think when it's come to some of the miracles that I've participated with, I had a four-year-old child who had tetralogy of Fallot and pulmonary atresia, and usually that's corrected at birth. It's a terrible birth defect where you have two holes in the heart, and she had a little pulmonary artery the size of a toothpick, and so she had no, when I met her at 4 years old, they just thought she was going to die every day. And what healing did is it plugged up the holes in the heart, and in a year, she grew all these collateral arteries. Now, I didn't know that was what was going to happen. I think that's the major partnership I talked about, wanting to change the whole way we live on Earth and wanting us to learn that we can help each other just by touching each other. In fact, I didn't do a majority of the work. I taught her parents, and I taught her sister, and I taught her relatives where to put their hands to help this child.
Yeah.
And she changed. And her doctor, who expected her to die any minute, basically said, any port in a storm, you know, I don't know what you did, but I can't help you. The thing that happened for me when I the family did take me to that first year medical appointment where every year they take a look at her. He took her off of all of her like six different medications, and she still functioned fabulous. She's now 12 years old. But the thing is, when I suggested to him that we could do that for other people in his practice who were that sick, we could teach the families what to do, the door was closed there. You know, it was just like not even a whisper that would be a possibility.
Wow.
And that's where I'm disappointed. It's like, if it works and the alternative is bad, especially, and you as a doctor have nothing more to give, you know, pony up a possibility. And if the worst thing happens, if this child had died after, you know, her parents and people were working on her, she and them would have had a rich experience just in them trying to help her, rather than them walking by her crib and going, there she is laying there blue again. Gosh, wish I could do something.
There are times when I wish that that this kind of work could be done, so to speak, on an island somewhere where you didn't have all of the rules and the regulations and the restrictions and the laws and so forth. For people who are genuinely trying to assist and help others to achieve their optimal health, because it just seems like it took, I can't even remember how many decades it took for chiropractic to finally be accepted. And now they're working on acupuncture and acupressure to get it accepted under, let's say, covered, let's say, by insurance. Whereas most of what you are doing, I would venture, you probably don't take insurance, and even if you did, it probably wouldn't be covered anyway, because it's way outside the mainstream.
Yeah, it is way outside the mainstream, but thankfully I live in Minnesota, and we have the Complementary and Alternative Medicine Act. This covers and protects me. No one can say that I practice medicine without a license and sue me or put me out of business.
Mm-hmm.
I get to say, I treat cancer, I treat indigestion, I treat, you know, whatever. And the way I do it is by doing three heart balancing. I'm not allowed to diagnose, which is not my job anyway, and I don't care to.
Right.
There is at least that much of an umbrella, and there's no insurance payments, that's for sure.
Right. When we come back, I'd like to talk about that three heart balancing, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Gentra Green Gardner. She is a healing practitioner, and I think that's just the best way to put it at this point. And we're going to come back with more from Gentra here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are talking today with Gentra. Gentra Green Gardner. She is the author of a book, which you certainly can get a copy of through her website. It's called A Healer's Voice, and the website is called HealingHandsNetwork.org. HealingHandsNetwork.org. We encourage you to go to her website, check that out, and I want to also thank you, Gentra, for joining us on the program. It's always nice to have people, especially who are doing the kind of work that you're doing, talk about it a little bit, as you are. And of course, you've written this wonderful book that gives people, I think, a very good idea of what it is that not only you do, but other folks do as well. One of the big dreams of this radio broadcast, of course, is to take it on the road to do the programs live from the location where people are doing this work, you know, face to face, and saying, hey, here they are. And if you're in the area, why don't you come on down? And if you're in need, here's what we can offer you, and so forth. So it's really kind of nice to have you back on the program. And you mentioned something about the three hearts. Tell me a little bit about that particular aspect of the work that you're doing.
The three hearts are what I think are the evolutionary leap that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's the what we used to call we still call the third eye, mm-hmm. which is in the middle of the forehead. That is an energy center, and that we call a heart. And that includes the top of the head, the third eye, and the throat. And then the middle heart is your physical heart, which is the strongest energy field in the body. And that includes the throat and your heart center and your solar plexus. And then the bottom heart, the energy field that opened up, is the solar plexus and the seat of chi. That includes the sacrum. And that in the sacrum is the colon brain. There's is more nerve endings in the colon brain than there are in the brain in our head. And that's the first enteric brain that we created in the womb that helped us survive. Everything's built on that. And all the healing now starts by innovating and embracing what I call the internal healer, the wave that rises when you have the sacrum and then the lower chakra, the root chakra, being aroused, because that's our will to live. And so once you embrace that in a body and get that energy unleashed, it's so simple. You just do it by touch. And, you know, there's certain energy doorways. The first energy doorway, most important one, is the navel. So if our listeners put one of their hands on their navel, and it doesn't matter which one, and the other one on their physical heart, they can feel what I'm talking about. Just lay there, or you can and pay attention and breathe. Or you can just charge your energy field up and keep it going. Do that while you're watching the television, or, you know, before you fall asleep at night. It's really a great thing. I want to say something about the website. We are updating our website. We found a man and other people who really are willing to get behind us creating a global network of volunteer healers. And I'm calling that Gabriel's Project. I'm training everybody who are my students to be my teachers, to teach three heart balancing, and to go wherever the energy sends us. And so we're restructuring that whole website, asking, like, what if your town or village had a healer? What if every village had a healer? How would that be different? We're going to have a page in there about children at risk, like I talked about, you know, and say, you know, if you've got a child at risk, we'd be willing to help you over Skype, over email. you know, we have this huge network of volunteer healers in Minnesota, so that you can, if you live in Minnesota especially, you can call and see if there's, if you need or want a healing, if there's somebody near you that we can put together, you know, for you. And so we're really expanding and extending that website. We're going to have videos on YouTube, a couple of minutes, like here's how to take a headache out of somebody. Let me show you how. Here's how to heal someone if you're in a restaurant. Here's how to heal your pets. So I hope that website is going to be up and running by Christmas. You know, I've written it. And that's going to be a nonprofit website. And then I'm going to have my own website, you know, and sell my book there. Of course, you can buy my book, too, on Amazon.com. So I wanted to make sure people are knowing we're in transition, and I'm really excited about it. Well, I really want anybody who wants to experience or learn about three-heart balancing to be able to do that.
Well, we encourage people to go to the website as it is right now, and obviously keep your eyes open for the new website, hopefully coming around Christmas time. I'm curious, too, as to the beginnings for you in terms of getting involved in the, I'll call it the healing profession, which is really kind of a very broad term. But nonetheless, how did you get started in all of this?
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1977. I don't think anybody really becomes a healer, not in the United States, as a professional choice. You know, it's because we, you know, we end up getting a disease. I needed to be healed myself. Back then, they didn't have anything to offer in the medical side. Now they'll offer people interferon and other kinds of drugs, and they'll experiment to try different things to keep the disease from progressing. I had a neurologist who told me I was going to die within a couple years. That would have made me dead before age 30. And I was really depressed. And then, I don't know, something lit up in me. I thought, well, I'm going to use this as an experiment and see if what I'm feeling in my body, I can shift it to a mental, emotional, some other way. So I just dove in and I just did everything. Chiropractic, bioenergetics, neo-Reikian work, acupuncture, orthobiomy. It's a long list. And after you start I started everything to heal myself. If I liked whatever I was taking, then I'd start taking classes. So I just became an expert in so many things. And I don't know that I really launched myself as worked with very seriously and persistently mentally ill adults throughout the 80s, and I was healing them and healing myself and going back and redoing my childhood. It was really the 90s when we decided to find a faster way, and I incorporated a kind of an interlock of all the things I'd learned and said, okay, now we have these three hearts. We are going, and we found that internal healer waking up in our bodies changed everything. So it was really exciting.
And I'm curious as to the modalities. You've already run down a list of a few of the ones that you've already studied, and obviously the list goes on. Are there certain modalities that you turn to first in most situations, or do you wait to evaluate the situation with the person that comes to you?
Well, I think we've melded so many of those modalities into what we call three-heart balancing. It's not like a choice like that.
Right.
So a person comes to us, the liver, which is, the skin's the largest organ of the body, but the liver is the second largest. We've got a video coming about how to bake the liver, but the liver's on the right side of your body, between your, underneath your rib cage and between your ribs and your hip bone, and it kind of goes around your stomach and wraps around the back a little bit. If you put one hand behind it and one hand on top of it and hold it, you can heal just about anything. It's just amazing. That's how simple it is. So most people would go, it can't be that easy. Well, you got to try it. It's like swimming. You don't, if you, you know, if you don't know what water feels like, you just got to jump right in.
I think one of the things that I'm learning, especially as I've been doing these programs, is if it's all just energy, then why is it so difficult for people to understand, or why can't you understand that it is so easy to rearrange the energy that is just vibrating? You know, it just, and I've even asked this question, even of people with degrees in biology and so forth, and they accept, of course, the concept that everything is energy. That why is it that the cells, let's say, of the skin that can, you know, you cut yourself and it heals over a course of days or weeks or however long it takes, and once it's completely healed, you don't even know that there was ever a cut there. Mm-hmm. But, and I use myself as the example, I lost the vision in my left eye about two years ago to glaucoma, and yet I know that those cells continually regenerate. Why aren't they regenerating into new cells to regenerate the eye back to sight like the skin regenerates back to its original state? I mean, if it's all just energy, that's usually been the question that I've kind of put to some folks, and I've gotten some interesting answers back. And it's not that it really matters that much, because it's not really focused on my life's purpose. I remember years ago being approached by some faith healers who wanted to lay hands on me to restore my sight. Well, the thing that they did not know was that I'd had numerous surgeries as a child, and I didn't want them to restore my sight back to the way it was. And I thanked them. I appreciated their concern and their interest, but that wasn't my purpose in life, was not to be healed. I was functioning quite well, I have to tell you. My purpose was to do the things that I'm doing. And if God wants to heal me, he knows where I am. I'll even take the call, collect.
All right, then.
And he can do it. And eventually technology caught up, and I had a lens implant, and I'm now driving where I wasn't before. So, you know, some interesting things happen over time. There's no question. But it's that whole concept of everything being energy. Everything is vibrating. Everything is moving. And that we are just perceiving these material things as real when they really aren't. I mean, there's space between the particles of this countertop that I'm sitting in front of and so forth. So it just seems to me like the work that you're doing is, in essence, shall we say, transforming, if not a manipulation of that energy back to a, shall we call it, a healthy state. I've also heard the term homeostasis, I think, is another term that some people like to use. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment?
I have a different assessment.
Lay it on me.
And it really is based partially on the new science that talks about dark matter and dark energy.
Okay.
Mikio Kaku, who's an astrophysicist, was at the University of Minnesota. I got the pleasure of listening to him talk and then talking with him afterward. His point was everything we've learned, we need to unlearn. And the Earth itself is, the mass of the Earth is 4%. Of what the Earth is, that 96% of the Earth is what scientists call dark matter or dark energy. They don't know what that is. They can't measure it. That's why they're building the particle smashers in France, but they can see it through the Hubble telescope. My body is 4% of who I am. 96% of me is dark matter or dark energy. What is that dark matter or dark energy? I'm imagining it's my soul, my unseen energy bodies, who knows? But here's what I do think, is that the 4% of me, even if I'm messed up and damaged, is where all those energy bodies, where all those parts of me meet in the material world, and this body is the body that is the most important, the part that I'm using to evolve and change through, and that as I change this body, then all of me changes. It's like the focus point for how we are supposed to move. So going back to your example of your eyes, I don't know what caused your blindness. There's probably 10,000 causes, so that doesn't help to figure that out. But when you're working with somebody's body, I'm vibrating out the memories of their body. So we couldn't heal your eyes without vibrating out the memories of the surgeries you had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we couldn't heal your eyes without vibrating out whatever DNA factors contributed to your glaucoma. We couldn't heal your eyes without maybe their past life memories. You know, our DNA goes back 4 generations. Maybe you have problems with your eyes because your great-great-grandmother or grandfather did have problems with theirs, and that in the whatever selection got to you. So that's why it's so complex. We can't say this or that memory would do it. But I don't care. We don't want to just vibrate out all of those memories, but we want them vibrated out so that then your soul or your dark matter or dark energy has a new palette to paint your soul's purpose, a new picture. And I don't know whether that means 20/20 or better, or whether it means something, some kind of sight that I can't imagine, you know, what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
But I look at things in an evolutionary way, that the reason your eyes were messed up is because that's what you needed to focus on to help you move ahead this time.
Ah, okay. Interesting perspective. I'm certainly always willing to consider the various possibilities. And I think that's something too, that if you're looking to make a change in your life, you really do need to be willing to consider all the possibilities, even those you haven't found out about yet. You need to sort of keep searching and trying to find some answers. Be open to, I've heard the phrase, become part of the process. Don't try to control it. Be part of that flow, be part of that that particular aspect of it, so that you can then begin the process of moving forward and again, having some joy in your life, some fun, living your life's purpose and so forth, pursuing that which you know you're here to do. My guest today is Gentra Gardner, Gentra Green Gardner, and she has a book called The Healer's Voice. She has a website called healinghandnetwork.org. And we encourage you to check that out. And also a new website coming in right around Christmas, we hope. So keep checking on that as well. We are linked to the healinghandsnetwork.org site, so I'm sure there'll be mention of the new site as well. I want to talk a little bit more here about the work that you're doing and how you became a radio talk show host. How did that process, how does that facilitate the work that you're doing?
I am a very expansive person, a very creative person. And I think I wanted, I did the radio talk show host thing because I wanted to meet people all over the world. I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to reconnect with some of the great healers and mystics and psychics that had influenced me. And I wanted to give everyone who I could get in contact with, you know, through this media, the idea that healing is a gift for everyone. It's simple. And so I just kept inviting people into my virtual living room to have a talk about what their healing journey was. And then when new evolutionary steps came forward for me in how people healed, then I would talk about what our work was and what we'd learn next. So our radio show is a platform for what's the latest. And it's really exciting to me. I mean, I did a show about past lives, and I talked a little bit about how the lifetime just before this lifetime, I think, really has a big impact on what kind of damage we bring in. And so we talked about that. We talked about how the collective unconscious, how we Sometimes when we're being emotional for that. And how could we detach ourselves from that? How can we process that? When can we? So I get all kinds of weird ideas to talk about on the air that sometimes what I use the radio show for is really bringing in new energies. I think that evil, destructive things has had a way of manifesting on our planet without end. But when it's come to love and joy and peace and humor, there's all kinds of new energies that we've never felt before. And I want to be part of bringing those in. And of course, I every so often do a show just about humor and lightheartedness and how we, you know, the quality of our life and how looking at ourselves and laughing is really important.
Well, I can certainly agree with that. If you don't have a sense of humor and you can't laugh at yourself, you know, and I've done some pretty crazy things in my time that I'm still able to laugh about. I think that there are so many, like you've incorporated so many different modalities, and obviously you've incorporated them into this wonderful new Three Hearts training and teaching and modality, healing modality, that I think just the symbolism alone of the heart itself and what we have actually learned in science and biology and physiology about what the heart is and what it does and what it can do. Talking with my first introduction to, for example, the heart being the seat of emotion and the experiments that have been done recently in that regard continue to reinforce how important it is for us to come from that place of the heart. I even have a poem by Sebastian Temple. He wrote and sang this one particular piece of music for the Phenomenon of Man presentation back in the 90s. Having to do with the gods hiding the truth from man. Where will we hide it? And the bottom line is they chose, because every other place they tried to hide it, they figured that man would find it. So they'd hide it someplace where he'd never look, and that was in his heart. He'd never go there because he doesn't want to deal with the things that are of utmost importance, quite honestly, and that's what we're finding out more and more. When you work with people, you can actually do distance healings. They don't have to physically be there, because I know you mentioned dealing with them on the phone or on Skype and so forth, correct?
Right.
Is it better, or is it just different having them there on the table in your facility as opposed to on Skype?
It's faster to heal someone on the table, mm-hmm. because when I'm healing somebody on Skype or remotely, I'm using that 96% dark matter, dark energy, and changing that. And then that goes into the body and changes the body. Where if I have the body on the table, then I'm working at the whole system through the body.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about when you were talking about the cardiac thing.
Yeah.
And this the morphogenetic resonance field is an important part of the gravitational field for healers, and it's illustrated by using cardiac cells. You know, if you take a cardiac cell and you put it in a petri dish, it's always beating. And if you have another one in another petri dish, that happens to be always beating. But if you put them right next to each other, they start beating together. And if you take them then, and you put one of them on the front seat of your car and drive it 500 miles away, it'll still beat in rhythm with that other cardiac petri dish left back in the laboratory.
Wow.
And so so that does apply to distance healing, you know, mm-hmm. that you can connect with somebody. So healers, when I have somebody on the table, I can use my body as a kind of a sounding board for having an echo, a feeling of what's going on with them, because I start to vibrate with them. And then if I'm removing, say, a heartache from them, and I happen to have a similar heartache, then that gets healed too. So it's a twofer. Mm. So every time you give a healing, you receive one. That's gravity. Now, the morphogenetic resonance field has been with us forever. You know, when you get a group of women who live together, they menstruate together. You know, when you get, it's just been illustrated in so many ways in the human condition. So this the importance of the human heart is gravitationally the basis for how we do healing.
Well, I know that in my training, specifically in Reiki, they talked to us about how we were the conduits, that we weren't the ones doing the healing, that we were just the conduit of that energy. And so what you're saying rings true to me in that respect, that, you know, how could you not be affected by the energy that's flowing through you? You know, it just kind of stands to reason. I was just for some reason thinking of white paint. And if you're trying to paint something, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get it on you. That's just part of the process.
Yeah, okay.
And with healing, the same thing.
Right. But in the field of gravity, you are completely immersed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get to be, there's not really, like somebody comes to me and they have cancer. I don't have any diagnosed cancer in my body, but I know that that's our cancer. You know, as a human race,
so
it's our, you know, I mean, that kind of hateful dynamic or whatever dynamic that causes that, I'm sure I have that, and I want to release that too. You know, so I want to vibrate that out of me, out of the person I'm working on, and then have that ripple throughout the whole earth so that those negative kind of creepy energies that I said have manifested over and over again, we slice away and get rid of more of that. And then we have more of an opening to bring in the new energies of love and collective harmonies and ways of expressing our inspiration that we've not figured out how to do, and we're learning.
And you've also discovered, obviously, too, how interconnected we all are.
Yes, I have. I have. And that's really what makes remote healing easy, is knowing that we're that interconnected. And knowing that if I feel an emotional connection to someone, I think emotions are a part of the field of gravity, you know, and that cardiac cell, my fantasy is it's in the Petri dish. I mean, it was in the heart of somebody. Maybe it was a rat. I don't know. But we all have emotions, and our heart is the seat of emotion, as you said.
Right.
And those emotions help us identify and empathize with each other. So the real healing in three heart balancing is caused through empathy. Now, that doesn't mean I sit and cry, but my body, because it's vibrating along with the person that I'm working with, that person's not maybe consciously saying, oh, she understands me, or she gets me, she feels me, but the body knows that I do. And then that allows that body to release whatever negative set of stories is kept that body in that injured or painful state.
Hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting. I am fascinated by this whole process that the healers go through. And I've experienced this too with folks, even we'll call it the mental health field. Usually they're coming from a place of personal experience in their own lives. And they've dealt with this and now they want to help others, or they've had a family member, an acquaintance, husband, wife, sibling, etc., who has gone through this. Obviously, you had a personal experience as far as the healing aspects, and we've had other folks on the program who have gone through their own challenges, health challenges as well. And so what you have to offer to the people that are listening to this program is, I think, quite extraordinary. And again, I want to mention the website once again. It is healinghandsnetwork.org. That's healinghandsnetwork.org. And when can people hear you on A2Zen.fm?
I'm live every Thursday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
All right. So that would be 6... I believe that would be 5 or 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, 5.
5 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday evening. A to Zen.fm is the website you go to. Just click on the listen button. Now, because of the fact that my program is obviously recorded and what we're doing here today is going to be heard on Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on A2Zen.fm, I don't have the knowledge of all of the technology. Obviously, people can phone you.
Yeah.
Can they? Are there other ways of connecting with you during that broadcast aside from telephone? I mean, can they use instant messaging or things of that nature?
No, I'm going to be not available Sunday. That kind of technology devices.
Oh, well, I mean the Thursday broadcast that you're doing.
The broadcast they're doing
that you do.
That I do. Certainly, they can call the A to Zen. You know,
the number that's listed.
Telephone number to be on the air, or they can go into the computer chat room.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And talk to, usually they're talking to Clyde, my husband, then, but he'll send me a note and, you know, I'll talk over the air about what their questions or whatever are. So.
And in terms of the subject matter that you cover, I mean, are there specific topics that you've covered over the last few weeks?
I'm really interested in interviewing Norm Shealy. He's going to be on in some time in the future. He's one of the grand old healers and medical doctors who's approaching 80 and coming back into the work and doing some interesting things. I'm interviewing Susie Ruse coming up, and she's a nurse who really understands cancer from the medical view, but also from the alternative view. And so she's got some really interesting ways of, you know, people learning and knowing about that. I am interviewing Donna Caceres, and she's written a book about death called The Wind Chime Chimes. And so I think that people could always realize that death in some ways is our friend. It's a natural process for us. And I think when we are evolving, even if we evolve to an ageless state, that we are end up in some ways dying to our old selves. So I'm very interested in all of that evolutionary, those evolutionary kinds of guests.
Before we wrap up the program, let me ask you, who is Gentra Green Gardner?
Wow. I am able to be work with someone and intrinsically motivate them to find their soul purpose, to realize that they matter. I am a beautiful, exciting, thrilling, truth-telling force. You know, I disappear in a crowd, but feel like I expand love wherever I go. I see the good and the bad in everyone, and I don't care. I love it all. I know that I'm here on Earth in partnership with the tree spirits and the animals and God, and I'm open to changing. I think change is our friend. I love changing. I love the idea that this is the most exciting time to be alive, that we have all the tools, and we're going to find out new realities to help us become even more of who we are. And I've spent a lot of time in my life investing in myself, my physical health, and I've so thrilled to have had the opportunity to be here on Earth. I am not looking to ascend or to leave the planet. I love the planet. I wish that we spend a lot of time like cleaning up all the radiation in the Pacific Ocean that's coming from Japan. That should be our number one news thing. Let's stop that right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I want us to really embrace this home that we live in and embrace our bodies. And if something is not right in our physical body or not right in our planet bodies, I want us to change that.
Okay. And let me ask you also, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I would like every person on the planet who wants to have a healing to be able to receive one. there, it's like there are 6 billion of us. We're starving to death in a grocery store, is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do. It's not rocket science, you know, and I think there's this huge lack of information and this huge duh factor that goes on there. And I don't care why. I just want to change that. When it comes to social issues, I want food, clothing, and shelter for every person that's walking on our planet. You know, in service of the, you know, taking care of where we live.
Hear, hear. And how powerful are we as human beings?
We're extremely powerful, I think. And once now that the will heart is opened up and that oneness, you know, that morphogenetic resonance field's vibrating, I think it's only a matter of time, and I don't think that long, before we start to all wake up and realize that we need each other, and we need each other to be as healthy as we can. We need each other to be as loving as we can, and we can do that one person at a time. You know, we could reach out and change the world one person at a time.
Gendra Greengardner, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. A reminder that her website is healinghandsnetwork.org, healinghandsnetwork.org. Her book, A Healer's Voice, available there as well as at Amazon.com, and a new website coming by Christmas. We certainly hope so. And Gendra, thank you again so much for joining us on the program.
Glad to be here, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.